Welcome to the Wednesday edition. I am Jim Rome, and this is The Jungle. We are live in Southern California. Nice to have you here. Program brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Rainy, rainy day here in SoCal. It's unusual for us, except not so much this year. We're getting a lot of rain. Not complaining, just saying. What's going on? Welcome to the program. Busy, busy show for you today, and we are front-loading. If you know what you want to talk about, you can jump in, but I've got an interview coming up next segment. We're talking to UC Irvine head basketball coach Russell Turner. That's coming up in about 15 minutes. Coming up in hour number two, another NFL draft prospect, not only on the program, but in the studio, former Clemson defensive tackle Christian Wilkins. You've heard him on the program. He'll be in studio at the top of hour number two. And then in hour number three, we'll talk some hockey. Carolina Hurricanes head coach Rod Brind'Amour. Good Wednesday program. Also, the ATP coming up a little bit later on, and I want to reset. Ep 72 of the Jim Rome podcast. Aubrey Huff made an appearance, and that dropped yesterday. A reset of that. Phone number is 1-800-636-8686. I need for you to get on Twitter. Hit me up at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at Habitate.com. All right, starting with Kyler Murray. Now, from the outside, it would appear that everything has been going pretty well for Kyler Murray of late. He gets drafted with ninth pick overall in 2018 in the MLB draft by Oakland. He signs with them. He gets a nearly $5 million signing bonus. He gets their blessing to try to win the quarterback job and play a year at Oklahoma. Good start, right? Guy can have his cake and eat it too. He wins the starting quarterback job. He wins a bunch of games. He does some of the freakiest things you'll ever see on a football field and, in fact, wins the Heisman Trophy. Then he decides that he's going to play football. He goes to Indianapolis. He shows up the combine. He gets the measurements that he needs, and he shuts everybody up. And then suddenly, it seems like a real possibility that not only will he go in the first round, but he might go first overall. Again, absolutely everything is going this guy's way. It's all good. Until yesterday, because that's when the NFL Network's Charlie Casserly came out with the biggest bucket of ice water ever. Like Casserly rolled into his home studio with Niagara Falls on his back and just started dumping it all over Murray. Here is the quote from the NFL media Twitter account.
Well, you better hope Kingsbury takes him number one, because this was not good. This was the worst comments I ever got on a high-rated quarterback.
Really?
And I've been doing this a long time. I'm probably doing it longer than you're alive anyway.
You have. That's why I said leadership. Really?
Yes, leadership, not good. Okay, study habits, not good. The board work, below not good. Not good at all in any of those areas, see? And raising major concerns about what this guy's going to do. Now, people will say, well, we're going to compare him to Mahomes. We're going to run an offense like Mahomes. We're going to run an offense like Baker Mayfield. Well, you can. And by the way, Friday, tune in up to minute. I'll show you the offense you're going to run with this guy. It is possible. But those guys are much different. I mean, those guys, you never question about their ability on the board. You never question their leadership ability, their work habits. They were outstanding in those areas. This guy's not outstanding in those areas. It showed up in the interview.
Charlie Casserly along with Andrew Siciliano. And what can I say, but damn, that was an absolute takedown, a beatdown. Kyler Murray's reputation hit the canvas early in that answer. And then there's Casserly on top of this guy landing one hammer fist after another. He went classic ground and pound. And Murray's rep was just eating punches. Leadership, not good. Study habits, not good. The board work, below, not good. I mean, like, this dude's out cold on the canvas, and Casserly is still stomping on his head. And that's exactly what you don't want to hear about a player, especially a quarterback who might go number one overall. And while each of those not good shouts were rough, do not sleep on this early haymaker. Quote, these were the worst comments I ever got on a top-rated quarterback, and I've been doing this a long time. End quote. So, like, where's the ref? Somebody needed to step in there and pull Casserly off of Murray because Murray could not defend himself. So the biggest question about Murray was whether or not he could take the pounding of the NFL, but he just took the pounding of the NFL draft. And it got worse because Casserly was not done. He had not tired himself out from that early flurry. It's like this guy's a well-conditioned guy when it comes to dropping bombs. And then he kept unloading. Quote, in the interviews, I got exactly the same stories. They were not impressed with his leadership skills or potential for the interview. They weren't impressed with his study habits. And I can't give you the quotes, but they're pretty bad. And they were not impressed with his board work and understanding football concepts that he was quizzed on. And that wasn't good. I can't give you the quotes. It was the worst report I have ever heard on a top-ranked quarterback from the interview part of it. One thing that stuck out to me, this guy was never trained for the interview. Whoever trained him did a poor job. Guys do get trained for interviews now. End of quote. Damn, Charlie, are you done yet? I hope you are. I'm exhausted after that complete and total hospital job, and I had nothing to do with it. All right, so what do we do with all this? What do we do with all this info? Is that all real? Is Murray the worst ever, or is it all negative spin? Did he have a bad session with one team? Did he have bad sessions with every team? Or did he have no bad sessions with any team, and somebody's just trying to kill his reputation so he will fall to them in the draft? The answer, who the hell knows? Who knows? We don't know anything at this point, and in the build-up to the draft, it is impossible to believe anything at all. There are so many agendas, so much smoke, so many suggestions, hints, rumors, reports, anonymous sources, that it all has to go out the window. I mean, I'm not even totally sure that I agree with Casserly's comments that nobody ever questioned Baker Mayfield's leadership. I mean, if I'm not mistaken, Baker was routinely compared to Johnny Manziel in the build-up to last year's draft. Now, don't get me wrong. It was a comparison that was an absolute joke. It was all wrong, especially now that Manziel has bombed out of the CFL and Mayfield is killing it in Cleveland. Mayfield is a stud. He's America's quarterback, playing for America's coach on America's team. Point is, though, this stuff comes up every year on every player who matters. Sometimes it's real, sometimes it's not. It's all part of the process. Everybody gets shredded. Now, it would stand to reason that Murray and his family would have preferred that a report that didn't involve somebody saying leadership not good, study habits not good, the board work below not good. It would stand to reason that they would hope that that didn't get out there, but it doesn't mean it's true. But then again, it doesn't mean it's not true. In other words, did Murray really show up at Indianapolis and bomb everything with everybody? Maybe. But if he did, it wouldn't have taken until Tuesday for all that to come out. And when Casserly references multiple teams, how many were there? And who were the people telling him? I don't need to go all Woodward and Bernstein on that report to poke holes in it or figure out why a team or two might want that info out there. But again, it doesn't mean it's not true or that there's not some truth to it or absolutely no truth at all. It's freaking draft season. I mean, is it possible that he could have been so ill-prepared for the team interviews that he was a complete mess at the combine? I mean, I guess maybe, but it seems kind of weird, right? The guy wasn't going to throw. He wasn't going to do anything football related, so it would stand to reason he'd get ready for the interviews. It'd be really weird for him to show up and just bomb and be unprepared or ill-prepared. But, and not to flip-flop on you again, then again, he did show up at Radio Row and did not make a really good impression. He was asked about football and baseball and didn't seem ready to answer that question. That was a mess, too. So, did he and his team work on that before these interviews? Maybe, I would imagine. Hard to imagine they wouldn't. Did he work on it and did he not execute? I don't really know. Bottom line, when you get right down to it, it is draft season. Here's your bottom line, too. Even if what Casserly says is true, and there were multiple teams that thought that he messed the bed, it may not matter. It may not matter. All that matters is that one team does like him. And as Daniel Jeremiah pointed out in a tweet, if the Cardinals are shopping Josh Rosen, Kyler Murray aced the only interview that matters. And that's the truth. All the other interviews that he may have bombed, if he did, do not matter if the Cardinals are the ones that like him and thought that he interviewed well. All it takes is one yes, one team to like you, especially if that team is sitting on top. The only thing that you can count on is the draft is April 25th, which means that we have more than a month left for reports like this to come out. And the only way we'll know how much those reports matter is what time Murray's name is called in Nashville. Then we'll know. I would not buy into it. Might be true, might not be true. Might be somebody who's trying to get this guy to drop to them. Or maybe he had a really bad interview, or two, or five. Or maybe he didn't. Who the hell knows? It's draft season. We'll find out.
Leadership, not good. Okay, study habits, not good. The board work, below not good.
Not good, not good, below not good. Worst ever. Terrible. Doesn't this happen to every single quarterback every single year that matters before the draft? Guys get shredded. They have before him. They have now with him. They will after him. And if Arizona likes him, then none of it matters. Poncho in the 760 tweets, "Dear Rome, no way Murray's study habits are worse than mine. Signed, Jamarcus Russell." Big Steve, 8921 tweets, "Hey Rome, what was Cam Newton's Wonderlic score again? This Kyler Murray interview nonsense and a non-story. I bet half those comments there were leaked because all the teams are trying to convince each other not to take him so they can take him. I mean, that's part of it. I'm not saying that teams didn't tell this to Casserly. I'm saying that if in fact they did, and I don't know if they did, but if in fact they did, what's their motivation? What's their agenda? Is it a fact? Did the guy show up badly? Or are they trying to knock this guy's rep, ding his rep, and get him to drop to them? Everybody's got an agenda. Everybody's got an angle. It's a lot of smoke, a lot of speculation, a lot of anonymity. I don't know. I wasn't in on those meetings. And by the way, neither was he. Dear Jimmy, I've got a source in Oakland that says Kyler Murray is actually only 5'9". Signed, Josh Rosen. Casey, New Hampshire. You know, prior to that report, all the speculation was they love him. He's going number one. He's going number one. I mean, I hate to sound like a team here, but we are 50 days out. They're so far from the draft. All right, so in addition to that topic, I want to hit on the Celtics. We talked about how bad they look. Then they go out and they punch Golden State in the face on their floor. We'll talk about what that means to Boston, what that means to Golden State. Pac-Man, I hit on this yesterday. Pac-Man Jones doing Pac-Man things once again. And this one is something else, even for Pac. It's on brand, but it's next level. I've got that for you, too. All right, coming up next segment, we are talking UC Irvine basketball. I'll pose the question. Are they the best college basketball team in California? Maybe. Russell Turner joins me next. Christian Wilkins in hour number two. You've got plans to finally do some work on your car. Hood's up, you're ready to go, and you're missing a tool. It's one that you don't have, and frankly, may never need again, but you need it right now. So what do? O'Reilly Auto Parts makes it easy with their loaner tool program. With more than 80 specialized loaner tools available, they're sure to have a tool in stock to help you get the job done. Are you working on your steering? You may need a ball joint press or a tie rod separator. Two tools you may never need ever again. Are you looking at your engine? You can borrow a valve spring or a piston ring compressor, then you can return it. O'Reilly has tools for steering and suspension to fix your brakes, tires and wheels, AC and cooling, even diagnostic tools so you know that you're on the right path. Just purchase the needed parts, put down a deposit on the loaner tool, return the tool in its original condition, and then you receive a full refund. The deposit is the purchase price. It's that easy. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices. Every day, O'Reilly Auto Parts.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Good show for you today. Once again, I've got another potentially high NFL draft prospect in studio. Christian Wilkins, former Clemson defensive tackle. That's coming up next hour. Rod Brindamore in hour number three. But as promised, we are joined right now by the head basketball coach at UC Irvine. He is in his ninth season at UCI, a two-time conference coach of the year. He led the Anteaters to four regular season titles, a conference tournament title, five postseason appearances. UC Irvine, 25-5 on the season, 13-1 in conference play, and they take on Cal Poly Thursday night, 7 p.m. Pacific. Russell Turner is my guest. Russ, nice to have you back on the show. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. It's great to be with you. I can't thank you enough for having me and UC Irvine on the show.
Russell, it is great to talk to you, and it's great to talk UCI basketball. Let me ask you this first. You beat UC Riverside Saturday, and you wrapped up the Big West regular season title. As I mentioned, that gives you 25 wins on the year, most in regular season school history. You've won 11 straight. How is life around UCI and on campus right now?
Life is always good on campus at UC Irvine. Anybody who's ever been here knows that, and our team is doing well right now. I'm pleased with that, and yet we're still hungry. I've got a group that's as competitive as any I've been around, and they love the fact that I'm pushing them, and they're also pushing me. So we have high hopes for what's still to come.
You know, I was there not long ago, Russ. I was in your house, and you guys are hungry. They play hard. That's a group that plays really, really hard. Let me ask you about Jonathan Galloway. He broke the school record for career rebounds, and that title is in addition to a couple of Big West Defensive Player of the Year awards, which he already owns. How much has he meant to the team and to the program overall?
Oh, man, Jonathan Galloway is just a quintessential college basketball player. He's an unbelievable representative of this university. As you mentioned, he's the all-time leading rebounder. He's going to be the first player ever to get the Defensive Player of the Year award for three times. And, you know, his stats don't indicate all the impact he has on us. He's just a winning player. And what I've said recently, Jim, that I think resonates with people is that I haven't been around a guy to have a similar impact on a team since I was an assistant coach for Tim Duncan at Wake Forest. And people know what Tim Duncan became. Before he became all that, we saw the impact he had. Gallo's had that impact here at Irvine.
Yeah, that's amazing praise right there. And I'm going to ask you about your time at Wake Forest in a couple of minutes. Russell Turner is the head coach at UC Irvine. Thing is, you've got some amazing depth on this team. You've got the ability, Russ, to play nine guys, nearly starters' minutes. As a head coach, how valuable is it to have that kind of depth and that kind of options that open things up for you?
Well, it's incredibly valuable to have so much talent that has all been willing to make sacrifices. And that's been the key to our team's success. You know, we do feel like we have at least nine guys who could be considered starters, both with their contributions and the minutes they play. And all of those guys has been willing to sacrifice for their teammates. And I think that's given this team energy and allows us to continue to have momentum deep in the year.
UC Irvine's won 25 games. Their head coach, Russell Turner, is my guest. Now, when you and I spoke on the eve of your first NCAA tournament there back in 2015, we talked about how there had not been a big basketball tradition at UC Irvine, and the word had been that this simply was not a place where you could have success, but now you're in a position now where you can add even more trophies to what you've already done. How much has that narrative changed in recent years?
Yeah, I think the narrative has changed altogether, and I remember vividly where I was standing when I talked to you last on the verge of that first NCAA tournament game. We're still hoping, you know, to break through again in the NCAA tournament because that's such an impactful opportunity for our university if we can do it. We've said now the goal has changed, not just to make the NCAA tournament, but to be in position and good enough to advance. I think that if we can make it this year, we do have a team that's good enough. We'll see if we can continue to build on the goals, but I do think the perception of our program is altogether different. Right, I'm really proud of that, and a lot has gone into that. A lot of people have played part in that, most specifically my players, obviously, and my staff, but it's been a team effort.
UC Irvine head coach Russell Turner, my guest. So in terms of changing that narrative, I know you're not going to pat yourself on the back too much, but over the course of the season, is there a better college team in California than UC Irvine?
I'm glad you asked. I don't think there is. You know, that's obviously an opinion statement, but it's also one I think that can be backed up by the numbers this year. You know, the only team that's ranked higher than we are in California is St. Mary's, and we beat them on their home floor. And one of the things we always struggle with is scheduling the teams in California. We play any of them. This year, some of the ones that are usually good are down, and we're not. We're up. And I do like to promote the fact that if you stacked everybody up, we'd likely be on top this year.
Russell Turner, my guest. Now, if you've had the kind of success that you've had, your name is going to come up for other jobs. So how do you approach that? Do you owe it to yourself to answer the phone when it rings?
I mean, everybody likes, you know, to be recognized for being solid at what they do. But what I'll say to you on that, Jim, is that if you've been here, you've been on this campus, I've got a great life here. I've got a great team and a program and a place where I fit really well. And I could see myself being here for a long time, like other coaches I've admired have done. You know, Bob McKillop at Davidson's been his place for a long time. Randy Bennett at St. Mary's been his place for a long time. Mark Few at Gonzaga has been his place for a long time. I think there's not much better in coaching than to feel like you've got a great fit. And I feel like I've got that with my players and our program here.
We're talking to UCI head coach Russell Turner. You know, going back to something we talked about, you played your college ball at Hampton Sydney, where you were a Division III All-American, and then you served as an assistant there before you went to work for Dave Odom at Wake Forest, which meant you were coaching Tim Duncan, and then you chased that by coaching Steph Curry in Golden State. There are not too many people on the planet who can say they've coached both guys. What were those experiences like?
Yeah, those are incredible experiences to draw from. You know, as an athlete, I'm not an athlete anymore, but to watch those incredibly high-level athletes and all the things that go into making them good, and then from a coaching standpoint to see the impact that those two had was just remarkable. You know, having coached two-time NBA MVPs, what I stress to my players is the things they have in common, and that's their character and their commitment to the game and their ability to make other players better. Both of those two guys have that more than any other athletes I've been around. And I think that they also have great basketball brains, great brains in general, but great brains for the game. And we recruit to that here. What I like to think we do is help our players get better, just as I watched Tim get incredibly better and Steph get incredibly better. They kept doing that throughout their careers, and that's what we try to get our players to do.
Yeah, Russ, one more thing about Steph. When he first entered the NBA, he clearly was not in the physical shape that he's in right now. What do you remember about the early days with Steph?
Well, first of all, Don Nelson, you know, said from the beginning that he thought he'd be a superstar. And so I give Nelly credit for, you know, seeing down the road on that. But Steph did, you know, struggle a little bit physically when he began in the NBA. The story I tell guys is remembering going to Madison Square Garden the first time, and Nelly, I think, either didn't start him or pulled him out of the game real quickly and barely played him in that game. And it was almost like he was testing Steph's resolve to be good or something. He made it hard on him, and there's probably nothing better Nelly could have done than to present that type of, you know, challenge to Steph and to see the way that he attacked it every day. You know, Steph was incredible in his just determination and his belief in himself and his, you know, just drive to get better. I think that's the thing that separates the guys who end up being the best is their drive to get better and just feel really fortunate to be around him. It was a lot of fun.
Hey, Russ, speaking of Nelly, did you see our press conference recently? It looks like our man is living the very best life in Maui. Did you get a look at him, and have you spoken to him recently?
Yeah, I have spoken to him, and last time I spoke to him was before I saw that interview, and if I had seen the interview and I told Nelly, it looked like he joined a motorcycle gang. And since that interview, I've told people that I'm not on the Nelly coaching tree, but I'm one of the roots on the Nelly coaching weed.
Great. Russell Turner, my guest. I got to be honest, Russ. Now, you know I'm a gaucho, and you may or may not know, but I brought the family out the last 2 years to watch you guys go up against my alma mater, UCSB. Let's just say y'all have not been very hospitable to the Rome family. I mean, come on, Russ. I put you on the show. You punch us in the face. That's not too cool.
Hey, that's not the way I've thought of it. I mean, you know, I do appreciate everything you're doing for me, and you know, we'll give you some luxury seats next time you come over here if you just let me know.
Yeah, you guys always do. That's not a concern. Russell Turner, the head coach of UCI, they're 25-5. They're 13-1 in conference. They've got a game at Cal Poly on Thursday night. Russ, nice to have you back on. You know I'm watching closely, and it's always good to talk some ball with you.
Hey, man, I appreciate it, Jim. Keep doing your thing.
You too, Russ. That was fun. Russell Turner, UC Irvine head coach. You know, if you're in Irvine, and again, I was out there to watch my Gauchos beat up on them, and it didn't happen. They play hard. They're deep. They're talented. They're athletic. They play extremely hard. And you've got a head coach who's done an amazing job there, an amazing job. And you have to hope that he has a quality of life and says, like all the others, you know what? I like what I have. I like my family being here. I like this school. I like my team. I like what we're accomplishing. Maybe I don't have to leave. Maybe I don't have to go someplace else to live the kind of life and have the kind of career I want. You got to hope for the best. If you're UC Irvine and you put a priority on basketball, you're going to do whatever you can to keep this guy as long as you can. Because the fact of the matter is, there are some big-time programs who are going to have openings, and his name's going to come up. But before you get ahead of yourself, you got a conference tournament still ahead, and then you've got the NCAA tournament, and they've got to make their mark. They've had a great regular season, but now you have to win when it matters on the big stage, and they know that. TK, short timeout. Also, how about that question? If you're in California, he said it. We are up. Other big-time programs might be down. We pretty much are, if you look at the numbers, the best program in the state this year. Best team in the state. I can't really argue that. He said St. Mary's may have an argument, but we beat them in their place. And that's a tough place to win, too. Christian Wilkins, top of the hour in studio. Rod Brindamore coming up in hour number three. And I want to talk about Golden State and the Celtics. What happened last night, all of that is still ahead. But first...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Wednesday is NASTA Pros Day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, submit a question there, and remember to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices. Excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. You're going back to what Russell Turner said about UC Irvine being the best team in the state of California. What's that say about the state of California? I mean, taking nothing from UCI. Again, they're good. They're a good team. That's not a team you want to run into in the NCAA tournament. They're going to make somebody look bad. And when it happens, it's not going to be surprising. That's a good team. But what's that say about the state of California that when you pose the question, who is the best team in California this year, you're not talking UCLA. You're not even talking USC. You're talking UC Irvine and St. Mary's. And it's legit. Those are the teams you should be talking about. So it's a really interesting year here in this state. And then the other big topic this hour is Kyler Murray and the fact that Charlie Casserly had this report where he just took the lumber to this guy, talking about his work ethic, his interviews, his preparation, not good, not good, below not good. And I'm getting a lot of reaction on Twitter especially. Pete in Kalamazoo tweets, "We thought that the Murray assessment was spot on. Signed the Oakland A's." See, the thing is, Pete, we don't know who Casserly spoke to, but I'm pretty sure it was not the Oakland A's. I'm pretty sure that if somebody said this about Murray, it may not be true, and they're saying it to ding this guy's rep so he drops to them. I'm pretty sure it's not Billy Beane. I'm pretty sure it's not the A's. I mean, they'd love to have this guy back. But I don't think that they went to him or he went to them. Kane7890 tweets, "We like draft season. Draft beer season, that is, signed Donovan McNabb and Pac-Man Jones."
Hump day. Let's go. Get your ass up out of bed. Roll on over. You know it's only 21 degrees.
Come on, Phil.
It is hump day. But when we're talking about guys and draft beers, there's Pac and the 8 new charges that he's facing. And then there's chlorophyll.
Chlorophyll.
Different guys.
Garbage.
We will get to the garbage.
Garbage.
Involving Pac. Yeah, I don't want to give this away, and a spoiler alert, I pull for that guy. I'm not saying Pac's the best guy, far from it. I'm saying I was hoping he would turn it around. And based on what happened recently, he does not appear to be turning it around. That's coming up later on. Jimmo's Kyler Murray bombed his interviews. All he has to do is send a nice thank you email afterwards, and he will be fine. Signed, job search guy. Drew in West LA. Here's an email. Rome, what kind of an idiot goes to the combine and does not handle their business? Everybody who plays quarterback knows that they need to ace the interviews. Playing quarterback is the easy part. Signed, Blaine Gabbert, Matt Leinart, Brady Quinn, Vince Young, Jake Locker, Paxton Lynch, Akili Smith, and Ryan Leaf.
Don't talk to me, all right?
I don't want to lose this. part of the thing about Kyler Murray is we knew that he was not going to do anything football-related, really, at the Combine. So what the guy had to do was show up and nail the interviews, ace the interviews, especially after he showed up in Atlanta, did a couple of interviews with the media that did not go well at all. So you would think, and believe me, we have another one coming up a little bit later on. And the one that I've got in studio, I'll say this straight up, I already know, Christian Wilkins is going to crush his jungle interview. I know it. I'd bet anything on it. Why? He's already been on the show. And two, I know what this guy's about. But a lot of these guys, when I talk to them prior to the draft, trust me, they're all schooled up. They're all schooled up. A lot of them sound pretty similar, say similar things because they have prepared. They've trained. They know how important those interviews are. This is why I find it very hard to think or imagine that Kyler Murray went in there, and if he wasn't going to throw and he was going to wait until pro day, that he would not have prepared and not schooled up for the interviews. Now, preparing for them does not mean you'll execute them. But I find it very hard to believe that this guy would just show up and not be ready. Hey, Rome, no such thing as a bad session. Signed, Bob Kraft. What's that mean, Lee? Jim, it's always giraffe season. Signed, Harvey Williams. RG in Peoria. Draft. Draft season. Not giraffe. Draft. Harvey was good in the jungle back in the day. Romy, happy National Dentist Day. We would like to take this time to thank all of the hardworking dentists for their tireless efforts, burning the candle at both ends, and working on us day in and day out so diligently. This day is for you. Regards, Jules Chicklets and SJP's Horse Grill. You know, I knew that email was coming. And I even knew who was going to send it. Geoff and Lincoln. Let me save you idiots the rest of your day. I don't want to hear from LeVar Ball. I don't want to hear from Steve Buscemi. I don't want to hear from Mike Strahan. I don't want to hear from Aaron Judge. I don't want to hear from all of England. Take the rest of the day off, morons. And this is in reference to Aubrey Huff and the podcast we dropped yesterday. Romy, Aubrey Huff's story was perfect for the podcast. When you say, we don't know these guys, no truer words were ever spoken. I love how candid he was, and his message was well said. Effing don't do it. Signed, Matt in Southern Arizona. Wore the podcast and wore Hawk, not taking Adderall to get through the 13th grade. Alvin, do you have a reset? We talked about Aubrey Huff yesterday. And, I mean, there are guys who are real, and then there are guys who are candid, and then there are guys who are owning it. And I can't believe the conversation he and I had for the podcast. And a lot of that centered on his use of Adderall, his addiction to Adderall, and the fact that he admitted that when he first tried it, the first thing that went through his mind was, man, how the hell did I ever get by and play without using this?
I remember being hungover as in Chicago playing the White Sox, and I'm sitting in this dirty, stinky, loungy, lazy boy getting ready to play a 1 o'clock game, and it's literally 11:30. I'm still in my street clothes from the night before, just hungover as. A teammate comes into the locker room. He's looking at me. He just starts laughing. He goes, ha ha, tough one last night, huh, Huffy? I'm like, man, yeah, you have no idea. There's no way I can play this game today. He goes, well, tell you what, have you ever been popped for a drug test? And I said, no. He goes, all right, well, I got something for you. He comes back with a little orange and white pill. And I'm like, thinking to myself, all right, what does this do? And he tells me, yeah, you'll feel like you're 20 years old in 20 minutes. And I'm like, all right, what the hell? Pop that thing. Within 30 minutes, the air in that locker room started to smell like I was in the mountains. The lights were crisp. I felt like I was like the sun had just come onto this really, really dark room. I could not wait to get into my locker, put my spikes on. I'm normally that guy that's the last one to go stretch. you know, just got to go out and stretch.
Sure.
I was the first one out, probably an hour before game time, beat the starting pitchers out, bullshitting with the fans who I normally couldn't stand yelling at me all the time. And I just had the most fun playing baseball in my life. And I remember thinking to myself during that game, how did I ever play baseball without this drug?
God, what an amazing conversation. That is incredible. That this guy dropped that one pill and literally his entire outlook changed. Everything he thought he knew changed. He felt like crap. He was sitting there in some stinky, lazy boy. He said, the second I took that thing, all of a sudden I felt like I was in the mountains. Clear air, running water. Normally I was the last guy out there. This time I couldn't wait to get out there. Normally I hate the fans talking junk to me. I'm just chopping it up with the fans out there. And he mentioned how he did it for a number of years. And then got hooked, got addicted, and had to get off it. And he tells the entire story. That's Aubrey Huff. That's podcast episode 72. I dropped it yesterday. It's a really, really compelling listen. And I think that would help a lot of you. He also gets into what it's like when the cheering stops. When you're a pro athlete and you've worked your entire life to live the dream. You have the dream. You're living the dream. And then it gets ripped from you. And that's your entire identity. He talks about what it's like to be a pro athlete. That everywhere you go, every single door opens. Everybody is happy to see you. VIP access, all the perks that come along with it. Best restaurants, best hotels, best travel. He told this crazy story about how he went into a bar and this guy said to him, Aubrey, hey, I'm really about what you're about. I really respect you. And my wife, she really likes you. Oh, and by the way, do you want to come home and have sex with my wife? He said that. I say this because he said that you have all of these things and this whole life and then it's gone. And then all of a sudden, nobody wants anything to do with you. Nobody gives a damn. The party's over. Your crew is gone. Your former teammates don't treat you the same way. Even your friends and family don't treat you the same way. It is such a compelling listen. And it's not an interview that I could have done on this program. So you have to look for that. That's on the podcast. The subject of this email is Adam Hawk. Adam Hawk. Dear Jaime, husband, not good. Parent, below not good. Employee, not good. Runner, not good. Golfer, not good. Signed, Stephen S.A.
Below, not good.
It's kind of harsh. It's kind of tough. I mean, even I'm tough on the kid, but I can't speak for whether or not he's a good husband, but I'm assuming he is. I'm going to assume he's a pretty good parent. In terms of him being an employee, I can speak to that. Good to very good. Runner, he ran a half. Golfer, I've never teed it up with him. If you're a golfer, that's got to hurt. Dear Jim, UC Irvine has a basketball team? I thought they allocated all their resources to the Lego robotics team. Thanks. Drew in West LA. Hey, Drew, what happened that one time you went to Irvine? What happened that one time you came down to Irvine? Meant something. Who hurt you? What did Irvine do to you? My man, you know a hell of a lot about Irvine. A lot about Irvine. It sounds like jealousy to me. What did Irvine ever do to you? Not only do they have a basketball team, and it does pay me to say it because I went to UC Santa Barbara, they've got not only the best basketball team in that conference, far and away, they have the best basketball team in that state. Drew, what happened when you came down to Irvine? Did you get turned around and lost with all the so-called beige buildings? What happened, bro? Did you not pay the toll on the 73, and did they come back to bite you in the ass? Dude, what happened? I live in and around the area. It's an amazing life. And believe me, I've lived on both sides. I grew up in West LA. I spent most of my life in the 818, and now I came down this way. I don't know what you're talking about, bro. Dear Jim, UC Irvine has a basketball team? Do they schedule practices around campus nap time? Thanks. Drew in West LA. Bro, how many of these are you going to send? Now, I'm partial. Drew, I don't know where you went to college, Drew, or if you went to college. Hell, Drew, I like you as a guy, but I don't even know if you graduated high school. I'm partial to the UC system. I have a UC degree. UC Irvine is a damn good school. And they play damn good basketball right now. They've got a nice baseball team, too. Dude, why you gotta hate? Specifically, why you gotta hate Irvine? When we come back, I'm gonna look for Christian Wilkins. He joins me in studio shortly.